The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks so much for listening to the show as we celebrate all stories and creating. And we're going to, I hope today, tune in our imaginations together. I want to start off by saying welcome to December. I think I talked about that a little bit last week, and I can't believe it's December, and it's December 10th, so happy, happy for those of you out there that know what that means. And it is going to be a snow day, so it's a great day to be inside, hanging out, and thinking about how can I engage my imagination. And you know, if you've been listening over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about this idea about time, and I think December is one of the ones where I feel it the most. No matter what's going on in the world or how we're feeling in our little worlds, the month of December feels like this giant crescendo. And yes, this is the last month of the year, and that's probably the way that it should be. But I think it might be how we design the world. And I found that interesting when I wrote that sentence, how we humans design the world. So it's like we're markers along this timeline, and This is maybe how we intended it. So we wanted to have this crescendo happen at the end of the year. And maybe that's good for us to think about, well, I can start anew. I can, put in place all of the pieces of this past year. And it's a way for us to mark things along the timeline. And, you know, last week was talking about how the pandemic has affected our way of thinking about time. And I do think we've been changed by this experience. We are feeling something about how we file the happenings of this year, how we remember this year. So it kind of brings me to the question that I've been pondering. Again, these are the places that my mind and imagination goes, of whether we create time or time is something that exists as a separate structure imposed on the world, or maybe it's some combination of all of the above. So here's a gem of a book that I have been referencing back to. It's been out for, you know, maybe it's a long time. It's now I guess they consider it a classic. So anyone pondering or curious about these ideas might want to consider taking a look at Einstein's Dreams by Alan Lightman. It's just this delightful, it's actually a fictional collage of stories dreamed by Albert Einstein in 1905 about time, relativity, and physics. Don't worry, it's absolutely approachable, imaginative, and charming. It's a wonderful exploration of time with so many ideas and about the spokes covering the possibilities of time. And it's all packed into this short 144-page book. It's really a gem. So if this is something that makes you curious, or maybe there's somebody on your holiday gift list that would enjoy this book or thinking about how we think about time, it's a good one. So that's, of course, one of the things that happens with the holidays as we turn to the joy of gift giving and holiday traditions and gatherings. And I have been so thrilled that we have had so many of these events return to the calendar year. And one that I'm particularly excited about has to do with shopping local. And I want to challenge everybody out there, if you can think of gifts that you can buy that support our local merchants, artists, employers, creators, that's how we should shop. We should shop like a locavore. And I place the highly recommend on the top of my list, the Fine Craft Collective. So let's explore together on Art Zany Radio. I want to welcome you all. We're going to be talking about the Fine Craft Collective with Dick Zawacki. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thank you, Paula. Thanks for having us today.
It's a pleasure. I'm really thrilled. Also joining us is Noah Sanders. Welcome Hi. To the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And the Fine Craft Collective is a seasonal holiday pop-up featuring local and regional fine craft artists working in ceramics, fiber, jewelry, wood, and more, because there really is so much more. And just even saying those categories doesn't describe the kinds of things that are there. And this is the 18th year of connecting Northfield artists to the community and the community to the artists. It's really an amazing place. It is located at the Northfield Arts Guild, the main gallery, which is located at 304 Division Street in downtown Northfield, and it is open Wednesdays through Fridays, and Wednesday through Friday is 12 to 5, Saturday is 11 to 4, and now I hear it is now open Sundays from 11 to 2. So for all of you, like, I don't start my Christmas or holiday shopping until now because we have some birthdays that happen in December, so kind of feels like we can't quite get going, and then all of a sudden we really get going. So I'm thrilled to be able to have those extra hours on Sunday to do a little bit of exploring. And so let's open up by maybe some listeners who aren't familiar with either of your work. Either one of you want to start and tell us a little bit about yourself, your work, your world, and introduce Sure. to our listeners. Dick, do you want to start?
Certainly. My name is Dick Sulwacki. I'm a wood carver and a wood turner. I've been carving for over 30 years, and about 10 years ago, I got interested in wood turning and took a class at the John Campbell Folk School in North Carolina, and just fell in love with turning. And both activities, there's a zen that I get into. I just kind of lose myself. Paula was talking about time, and I always say that these activities for me are a great way to turn 15 minutes into 3 hours. I just kind of lose myself, you know, in those things. But it's time that I really enjoy and can really just get away from the rest of the world. So I've been involved with the Fine Craft Collective for the last 3 years and very honored to be part of it. I also I also participated at the Riverwalk Market Fair and have been part of the Carlton craft show, although unfortunately it has not been put on the last 2 years. So that I'm looking forward to getting back there too. But I guess that's just a little bit about me and a little thumbnail sketch.
Thank you. And actually, it was your idea when I read your description about how you get lost and, you know, 15 minutes turns into 3 hours, that I start, well, there's more to talk about time. I think it's really, and especially at this space of year as we hit December. So thank you. I think that's Sure. a good introduction. Noah, you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name's Noah Sanders. I live right here in town, just down the street by the co-op. What I work in primarily is drawings and paintings. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the genesis of all the work that I create. And currently I'm taking my sketches and cutting out shapes out of wood, primarily doing animals right now, but I'm kind of expanding into other things. I'll put foxes and horses on salvaged wood that I find. I cut it out with a jigsaw and I paint on top of it and use a variety of materials as well. Sometimes I put a sheet of metal on top. I try to keep it interesting with salvaging materials. I try to be process driven in what I produce, and trying to think here.
I think people may know you. Your foxes, it kind of become iconic, I think, because that's where you started. Yes.
Yeah. Foxes and horses in particular. And I have all sorts of animals in my sketchbook, but I just keep on returning to the fox theme and just trying to continue to flesh out the ideal fox, I guess. That's kind of the quest I'm on. But I have all sorts of other things I'm developing. I'm starting to do more things that relate to storytelling. So, like, even something as simple as just having two foxes interacting with each other in one painting. There's a lot more of, like, a narrative that's evoked through that. I have some horseman drawings and I have some like biblical inspired stories that are universal that people would recognize that I'm starting to try to do. So yeah, it's a lot of fun right now.
There's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
And so I think it's, I'm so excited that you're both here because like I said, I love the Fine Craft Collective. And how is this, this opens up in November, but now we've hit December.
Right.
How is it feeling at the Fine Craft Collective this year?
It feels a little different this year. As you probably know, Paul, of the those of artists who have work at the Craft Collective also man the store or operate the store, and so you're always when people come in to shop, they always get a chance to talk to an artist who has knowledge of the work, plus will have knowledge of other people's works too. But what I've noticed is different about this year is that last year people were really focused. They'd come in, they knew they wanted to buy something. Because of the pandemic, they'd buy, they'd get in, they'd get out, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year people are, they're strolling in, they feel a lot more comfortable. They're actually shopping. They're looking at things and they're comparing and they're actually taking their time. And so that's what I notice is different about the Craft Collective this year. And it feels more collegial, just more warm, I guess. And it's kind of getting back to normal, whatever normal is these days again.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. How about for you, Noah? How is it feeling this year? You've participated. How many years have you been in the Fine Craft Collective?
I think Dick and I started the same time. So
yes, we did.
Years.
3 years ago, right.
Yeah. So that's been fun. We're collegiate in that respect. yeah, I think it's been really great so far. I'm excited with the variety of work I've been able to improve upon and bring. And I think, generally speaking, across the board, we've been encouraged by the strength of sales that we've had.
Right.
So,
yeah.
It's been good.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well and heard from other artists that people in the community or visitors are really excited about supporting local artists, local stores, trying to make sure that everybody gets through this period and this time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a pretty great thing, and people are excited to get out and be, like you said, be a part of that community again.
Right.
I was thinking for artists, how, a lot of different experiences have happened with their time during the pandemic. How do you think that time affected your work or the way that you approached your work or the process or did you explore new things or take a break? A lot of people had different experiences. I'm curious for both of you, what was that? I don't know how, are we saying it's 2 years now or 18 months? I hear all.
Sure. Well, it'll be 2 years
in March.
Yeah, right. For me personally, I think it gave me an opportunity to explore some new things and come up with some new ideas, try some different things and once we really, unfortunately, got into the pandemic, I realized that there weren't going to be as many opportunities to sell and show my work and things like that. So, that was, at first it was kind of a downer. I mean, it was like, I don't want to, But then I got into, thinking, well, hey, I can explore new things. I can try some different things. And, I think it's given me the opportunity now to also interact with other people in the same community. I've participated in a lot of Zoom meetings and classes and things like that. And that's opened me up to some new ideas and new ways of turning, new ways of finishing wood and things like that. So I think for me, that's what it's been. Now, because we're into December and stuff like that, I'm feeling some pressure, frankly, you know, which is good. I mean, you know, people are buying things, but that means you have to restock and everything. And so that's, you know, I'm always happy to be in that situation. It's much better than the alternative.
Yeah. Right. I want to check in with you about the sure. Zoom classes. So I'm trying to imagine a woodworking Zoom class.
Right.
And is everybody in their workshops or is it more of just a observing somebody and teaching
it's,
a skill?
Right. Yeah. It's really the latter. Although it kind of works both ways. A couple of clubs that I belong to have done Zoom meetings, and in some of them, you know, people will show their work and talk a little bit about what they've done, but a lot of it is demonstration too, and so, it's, you know, it really has improved a lot of people's technical skills. You know, people work with multiple cameras and show things.
Oh, that kind of, I thought you meant the woodworking, but you mean the actual, like, the video.
Yep, the videography and everything like that, right. They do some really great things now, and, you know, they'll, if you're at a lathe, they'll have a camera over the person's shoulder, and they'll have a camera coming down from above showing things that are going on, and so you actually get a lot of better instruction and information about what's going on. So from that standpoint, yeah, it's been good.
So that might stick around. That might be something that continues.
I absolutely think so. I think it'll probably turn into a hybrid, you know, and we'll probably have in-person meetings again, but then there'll be you know, videos of the meeting that people can either watch simultaneously or watch later too.
Yeah. Right, and it expands your ability to connect with people across. You could take a class from somebody in, you know, another part of the country where you couldn't possibly have done that before.
Well, the other part of the country. Just last weekend, I was part of a class with a guy from Ireland.
Oh, wow. Even the world.
So even the world, you know, why not? You know,
that's one positive. Yeah, that's really exciting. How about for you, Noah? Was there a change or a shift for you during this time?
I had a big shift. I had a lot of lingering artistic questions and kind of the ideas I was pursuing, and I had some technical things with my painting on wood and how I cut out the wood that I wasn't really able to flesh out. So the pandemic was very much an opportunity for me as well, especially at the beginning with the lockdowns, had to stay home for a month or whatever. Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time went to my basement and I got a lot of work done. So that was really big deal for me to find solutions to some things and level up in a sense. And I had some issues with keeping up with production too. Mm, so yeah. I was able to kind of build up a little more. I was hoping to do a lot of art shows in 2020. That's what I was gearing up for. But I look back now and I know if I was successful at all in those shows, I would have ran out of product right away. So I was, you know, stepping forward in faith to do those shows, which is a good thing, but I was didn't have much else going in terms of that. So, and I'm still having problems now, like now that shows are starting back up. I did a few this year. I just keep selling really well, so I have that wonderful problem of I need to figure out some time. I can't depend on any more pandemic type stuff.
Let's not ask for that.
Yeah, definitely not. But I'm looking at my current employment and asking some questions now, which is a great place to be of, like, you know, if I want to continue doing this or go more full time in what I'm doing and do more art shows, I'm going to have to change some things. So, So I have a lot of momentum coming out of the pandemic time. The time was great use for me, and I was home with my family. So, you know, there was a lot of things that, as hard as it was for so many people, which was, you know, really sad. I don't want to discount that at all, but For me, it was a sweet time, mm-hmm. a sweet season. So
that's I like that. I like that phrase, sweet season. I think we're gonna keep that. And I'm wondering, we should probably for folks that maybe haven't been to one of your shows or mm-hmm. seen your work, what do you have at the Fine Craft Collective this year? What are they gonna see if they walk up to the spot that's designated for your work?
Go ahead.
Sure. So I'm very proud of what I have right now, because one thing I've been trying to do is I started making big pieces, and those are all higher dollar items. But now I have things that are a lot less in value. So I have some little 4-inch wood circles that I've cut out and painted on. I have some like Scandinavian star designs, and I have animals on them too, and some other designs as well. Those are $30 a piece. They can be used as ornaments or just wall hanging. And I have some art cards as well that are $5 a piece.
Tell me what I guess I'm not familiar with what an art card is.
So what I have right now is I have old artwork from like college and things like that, paper artwork that I've cut up into 3x5 strips
Put
them on cardstock. And they're kind of just spontaneous abstract art cards from
What are people saying that they're going to use them for, or how are they going to display them?
Yeah,
or?
So some people I know have framed them and put them up in their house, just little pieces, but a lot of people use them just for art, like a fun card to send to a mm-hmm. friend or something like that. And I have my regular big pieces and some mid-sized pieces as well, foxes and horses, and I have some bunnies as well. And some of those art pieces I have scanned in or taken photos of, and I've made into cards of printed cards of my artwork. And I just ordered a bunch, so I should have some to put in the Fine Craft Collective next week. So that's what I have right now.
And I'm excited for
that. Yeah.
You mentioned the idea of painting and when you were painting on the wood. And mm-hmm. I actually was thinking about that as I was looking at your piece of wood has some, it's not like a canvas, right? It's not predictable mm-hmm. in its quality. And so there may be, different grooves or, gaps or mm-hmm. it's a natural surface, right? So
yeah.
I'm curious, what was the solution you came to about making the paint stick, and, what were some of the questions you had? Because I think that's a really fascinating problem. It's not just as easy as take out the paint and there you go.
Right.
it's a process.
Yeah, I'm definitely dependent on the wood I find, and depending on the wood grain or whatever, sometimes that does a lot to enhance my work. But over time, I've learned that I really prefer wood, generally speaking, over painting on canvas or something like that. Canvas tends to bounce and is not a flat, hard, flat surface, and I really appreciate that about wood. I have a little more control.
The way that you feel when the brush, or you, do you use brushes, I guess?
I use brushes. I mean, I use all sorts of things, but primarily brushes to get my specific drawing onto the piece. And I think the tactile wood, the absorbent wood, mm-hmm. Has a lot of strengths that I've learned how to lean into when I'm working with.
Right, because it probably would, I don't know the word. What's the word? Absorb is there maybe, mm-hmm. Draw in.
Yeah.
So you may have to do multiple layers. Does it need to get saturated before it shows on the surface?
Yeah, dark colors like black or red, I don't need to do multiple layers, but sometimes I need to do
double. You've got a yellow or something.
White. Yeah, white or yellow, especially if I'm putting a stain on top. Like the white especially really takes in the stain, which is great for some applications, but sometimes I gotta spend another half hour doing a second coat.
Right. I love that experiment.
Yeah.
And like you said, you use salvaged, and so uh-huh. you the conditions are, you're kind of given what's presented.
Right. Yeah. Which is fun. It's definitely a different approach than what Dick is doing. Dick's on a higher operation of woodcraft and wood selection than I am. But
yeah, let's hear about what you've brought to the Fine Craft Collective this year.
Sure. I can just back up a little bit and say about when Noah's painting and stuff, the thing about wood is that it's not a consistent medium like a canvas would be. And so the grain of the wood changes and swirls, and it's just the way that, that the tree grows. A lot of that even is dependent on the minerals in the soil where the tree grew. You know, you can have two walnut trees, and if they grew in different areas, they'll have different colors in the grain and the wood. So that's really what Noah's talking about with the absorption of the paint and things like that. It's just all how the grain comes out in the piece of wood. But to talk about the things that I've been doing, I do a lot of chip carving, which is a Scandinavian style of carving where you take out little chips of wood and make them into geometric patterns. I make a lot of ornaments. I do also plates with various designs on them. I have some serving boards that have like I have one with a Santa face in it and one with an egret in it.
Yeah, and I saw the image on the website, and so sure. Those are something that you are hand doing. That is not a machine. And that part I think is what kind of blows my mind. And I mean, especially some of your geometric patterns, I'm kind of enthralled with those.
Well, thank you. Yeah. People often ask me, you know, what sort of laser do you use?
Yeah.
And I hold up my right hand and I say, this is laser right, and my left hand, and this is laser left, and that's it.
Great.
You know, but no, the patterns, yeah, they're all a lot of geometric forms, and so, you know, I just kind of start by looking at the basic outline that I have, and then just whatever my mind kind of comes up with at the time. You know, I try to make each one different a little bit. I always say that because they're done by hand, each one is unique. There'll never be another one exactly like it. And it's the same way with Noah's work too. You know, they're all individuals. They're all the unique pieces, and so I think that's one of the things about handmade items is that they all are really unique, and that's true of all of the artists at the Fine Craft Collective. Some of the other things that I do. With my wood turning, I've gotten into making little pepper grinders, and they have been very popular this year. Like Noah too, I use a lot of storm damaged wood or wood from trees that people are taking out of their yards, so I get to repurpose a lot of the wood. I do have some other woods that I've bought. Different styles and things to bring a different look to the pepper grinders, but those have been real popular, and I think because of the pandemic, you know, people have been cooking at home more and stuff, and so they're looking for, you know, for things like that. Another thing that I'm getting into and starting to explore is a thing called a weed pot, and that's basically made from the limb of a tree, a smaller limb. It's about 3 or 4 inches in diameter, and then I turn it to look like a small vase or a pot, and you can put dried flowers in them or something like that. They're not really made for putting live flowers in because there's no way to hold the water in there and stuff like that. But those are fun too, because again, each piece of wood is different. One of the woods that I really have liked to work with the weed pots is buckthorn. And everybody says, oh, buckthorn is an invasive species and stuff like that. Well, it is, but when it gets really good sized, about 3 or 4 inches in diameter, the heartwood is a very pretty orange color, and it's really, really nice. So,
although if it's gotten that big, then that buckthorn has taken over.
Well, yes, that's true, Paula. Although actually there are male and female buckthorns, so if you can find a male plant, you're okay. It's the female plants that produce the seeds. And,
I did not know this.
Yeah, right.
And so I was wondering that, you know, with each of you, and since you both work with wood, if you are looking at the story, you know, kind of trying to engage with that particular piece of wood and what it's telling you, you know, would be the best way, because, you know, if I'm imagining, because I don't do woodworking, but, you know, that, you know, if it's like tight rings, that means it's going to be good for this. If it's, you know, got a curve or a bump, then that it's not going to work, or it's got a knot. You know, you have to kind of look before you begin, how much of that happens?
Well, for me, a lot.
Yeah, because some pieces wouldn't be good for turning because of those things.
Right, but some pieces you want to incorporate that knot into it because it, you know, it's going to look really nice and stuff. And a lot of times too, you're just not sure when, you know, how it's going to turn out. So you just start to cut away and you know, maybe, you make, what I call decorative firewood, you know, it is, you know, it's something that just, you know, you have to say, well, that was a good experiment. You know,
should sell 2-pound sacks or something.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, we were looking for some firewood.
Yeah, right.
That was pretty fancy.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Right. So, but you're right. I do look at the structure, the grain of the wood, and try to think of how it can be cut. When I'm carving, I always say that the wood tells you how it wants to be carved. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we've all heard the things of you cut with the grain or against the grain and stuff like that. And if you cut against the grain, the wood will resist you and it'll say, I don't want to be cut that way, you know. So you turn your knife around and cut it the opposite direction and stuff. So,
is that something you pay attention to Noah as well? What is, you know, what is the wood best suited for, or will it react differently to paints? I bet you have to learn about different species and also like Dick said, some woods have a color to them that might affect how things come together.
Sure. So a lot of what I use is plywood. So plywood's pretty basic. I'm oftentimes looking for the thickness of a board because as a wall hanging, I want it to be certain thickness for the fasteners I use, but I also don't want it to be too heavy.
Right.
So I got that going on. But I do have some pieces that I have salvaged slats of wood lath from old plaster walls. And I have a lot from my house, from my staircase hallway. And I have some from other buildings around town. And those boards are great because they're a half inch thick and they're nice little strips. So when you lay them out, like for a horse or something, they look really nice. But sometimes they're not made consistently. So I have to really select ones that are flat where they'll line up flush with each other. And then when I lay it out on the horse cutout or whatever, I have to make sure that they're wide. Sometimes the width is varying as well, so I have to make sure that one's not hanging off of a edge of a hoof awkwardly, so that when I cut it out again with the jigsaw, it doesn't just fly off or snap off or something. Right. So yeah. I have to make those selections along the way, and some of those are just organic. You just kind of do it as you go, and if you can't use one scrap, you'll be able to use it for a different project.
Right.
But it's very, very, yeah.
No, winding. I remember one of the first years you were at the Fine Craft Collective, you had one of your foxes made out of yardsticks.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really, inventive and very creative way to use old yardsticks.
Yeah. Yeah, those are some of my favorite ones I've done. And I just bought a bunch more yardsticks because they sell really well. And Paula actually bought
one
of the smaller foxes at Jesse James.
That's
show,
right. So. I fell in love, and I think it's called Foxtrot. And that just makes me very happy every time I look at it. So it's very inventive. And I love being able to share your stories, folks. If you're just tuning in, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. I'm here with Noah Sanders and Dick Zawacki. We're talking about the Fine Craft Collective, which I hope you've been inspired to want to go and check this out. It is currently at the Northfield Arts Guild in the main gallery, which is the one on the floor you enter. That's at 304 Division Street in downtown Northfield. I think their door is still purple.
Yep.
Yeah. So you look for that on Main Street, Division Street here in Northfield. And it is open Wednesdays through Fridays from 12 to 5, and then on Saturdays from 11 to 4. And now for the next two Sundays, 11 to 2, it is open, because there are a lot of us who haven't done our holiday shopping, and so that extra couple of hours will make a big difference. And like both of you had mentioned, there are so many artists, but I think the thing that's really special is the community of artists there. I've gone, and maybe I have a question about something, and surely somebody there either knows the other artist's work, or if it's not theirs, and can say, well, hold on, I'll just text them, and I'll get the answer for you of, you know, what is this washable? Is this, you know, can I put food safe, or you know, whatever right. questions people might have? You are all well in tune with each other's work. So what does it mean to have that community of artists? It is supported by all the artists. You are all the people who, you know, build the displays, set up the merchandising, operate the store, do the whole thing together.
Right. Yeah, it's for me. It's been really inspirational, and I've found a lot of support from the other artists. They've given me a lot of tips and ideas about things. You know, even though we might work in different media, there's a lot of similarities when it comes to the creative process and the design of things that I've found goes beyond the bounds of whatever medium you're working in, and so it is a collective. It's a collaboration also, and so I've found a lot of support from the other artists, and I guess personally it's how much alike we are, not how different we are. You know, that
no matter that, the medium or
right, yeah, the mediums are different, and that's where the differences are, and the processes that we use to get to our final product. You know, we don't have to, Noah and I don't have to fire our work in a kiln or anything like that. You know, that would be slightly destructive for our stuff, but you know, it's still the same type of ideas with the, you know, the potters create forms. And And that's another thing too for me is looking at form. One of the great things I learned in the last year or so was a wood turner will take a bowl or whatever he turns, paints it all black, and then just looks at the form.
Oh, so that
you yeah, right.
Interesting.
Yeah, so because when you're working with wood, and we've talked about this a lot here this morning, but you get caught up in the grain and how pretty it looks and everything like that. But there was one instructor who would have all of his students just paint their items black, flat black, and then look at the form.
I had not That's heard great. That before. Yeah. That's a really interesting, because right. it automatically shifts your perspective. You no longer are able to see color or grain, or it's all about that, maybe the balance in shape.
Proportion.
Or, yeah.
Function.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
All of those things. So, again, getting back to, you know, the people at the Craft Collective, that's what we share is that type of creative process and the way we look at things. And I think that's something that in the last couple of years has really opened up for me too. So
yeah, and it's been 18 years that the Fine Craft Collective has been going. So
right.
a lot of these folks have some long experiences and great wisdoms to pass on.
Right. Yeah.
How about exactly. for you, Noah, being a part of this community of, I guess I've got to look up. I know that, hello, Heather out there. She passed on to us that there are 30 artists this year
right.
in the show. That's there's yeah. And as we mentioned, I mean, it's jewelry, it's fiber, it's wood, it's ceramics, and kind of every combination you can think of original artwork that's
right.
for sale for gifts. Mm-hmm. How has it been for you to be a part of the community?
Well, I find it very inspirational. I'm kind of always on the lookout, no matter where I am, looking at architecture and things like that for some sort of design element that relates to something I'm thinking about. So I'm always jotting down notes in my sketchbook or color combinations. And last night I walked in with my infant daughter. I was holding her, just popping in real quick to look around, and it was really busy, so I wasn't there very long. But one of the paintings in the back corner by the elevator had an interesting color combination, and I was like, oh, that's the color combination I've been hunting for this one piece. So I like snapped a photo of it real quick.
And, wow.
You know, it's like things like that. It's just all the creativity aggregated in one place. It's very easy just to go around and reap the benefits of that community and feel inspired and, you know, increase your ability to create as well. So I feel very blessed by that. And other artists like Dick, you know, with his patterns and things like that, I've been getting a lot more into certain patterns incorporated in my work. And then I see someone who's developing their own patterns and their own style. And this adds to the context of like, well, what am I doing with my patterns? Like, am I using them the right way? And how can I improve? And it's very inspiring.
And I would say, too, that people are very willing to share. They're not trying to keep their ideas to themselves or anything like that. All you got to do is ask, you know.
Right.
But
I think that comes across to the shoppers too. Someone who's in the store, everyone is very generous with their expertise or you know ways to help you make suggestions or find the perfect gift for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's such a great place to be. It's a very, and it's only around for a couple months every year. So, this group is together,
right? Yeah, it's a unique collection of people, and we have Paula. You mentioned we have 30 artists. We have 5 new artists this year too, that are part of the group. Laura Hyman does glass. Tammy Ressler does pottery. Mary
Dunteman.
Dunteman, right? Yeah, she's a jeweler, and I've forgotten the others.
Heather sent them to us, so thank you, Heather Lorenz of the Red Wing. I forgot
the
Elk Skill down there. Yeah. Laura Hyman and Tammy Ressler. Mm-hmm. Amy Brooks.
Yep.
And I think we got them all, right? Is that 5? John Ayersman.
John, right.
So that's exciting. How are artists selected to be a part of it?
There's a basic application process that the Arts Guild puts up. And oftentimes they do invitation as well.
So, right.
That's how Heather cornered me at the show.
Wonderful. It's a juried thing, and then I was also invited too. That's the way I was able to become part of the Craft Collective. So
I guess we didn't mention the website too. I want to be sure, because you can preview. We can't possibly go through all 30 of the artists that are in the show, but you can visit it, and it is Fine Craft Collective. I want to make sure I get it right. Is it?
I think it's .org.
.com is what I have.
.com.
See, that's why. But I'm sure FCC, Fine Craft Collective, it's all one word. .com is the website that you can get information. It's really helpful because you could click to some sample images or go and look at a little bit of their background. Some folks have websites that can give you even more details about where to find their work. Mm-hmm. I want to check in because I know that Dick had to leave a few minutes early, and I want to make sure we get you out the door so that you're
thank you, Paula.
On time. That. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
It's been such a pleasure to. I don't remember that you've been on the show before. So
not this show. No.
Yeah.
I was here with Wayne Eddy a few years ago, but yeah, that's.
It's a treat because
I'm
going to send hello to Terry out there too.
Yeah, right. Well, that's actually how I met Terry was when she worked here at the station and I was on Wayne's show and
What a great love story.
You can fill in the blanks from there.
So. It's a beautiful story. And I thank you so much, Dick Sawack. You can see his work.
Thank you, Paula.
Absolutely. At the Fine Craft Collective. Noah, you and I are going to spend a little time talking about, I want to just try to give people a sense of the range of items that are there. We talked a little ahead of time that mm-hmm. I love going there, and I always have a list of things that I want to, you know, gifts that I want to get. But then I find so much for myself, too. So what are some of the things this year that are, you know, really popular or you're finding that people are excited about or new things that people may see at the Fine Craft Collective?
Well, I think first of all, just to emphasize the variety that is there is really key. I mean, if you really have any sort of interest in handmade goods or something like that, this is the place for you. We have everything from beeswax, and I don't know if we have soaps this year.
There was one artist who was doing some soaps,
okay.
I believe.
So if you have some things like that, we'll have textiles, pottery. I especially love looking at the variety of pottery. We have multiple pottery artists
mm-hmm.
and just the variety of work
and
that they do amongst each other. Someone's doing little figurines, like Christmas themed figurines of Santa Claus type, you know, Norwegian trolls or whatever, that kind of stuff. Really appreciate that. And then other things like, you know, platterware and mugs, things like that. It's really great.
Yeah, and the other thing that happens is because each of these pieces are one of a kind, and mm-hmm. they're, you know, made they're quality pieces from, you know, artists doing their own work. Is that if they sell, they're gone. I've had that happen to me a couple times where I've fallen in love and I'm like, I got to think about it, mm-hmm. come back, and it's not there. But the good news is that each of the artists is, you know, throughout this couple months, making new things or bringing new inventory in. So even if you shop one day, you can come a week later and there will be, it's like a new store.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it really also incredibly special. So folks have a couple more weeks before the holidays that they can, you know, need to finish up the last shopping. And I have to admit, I have been there on Christmas Eve, the last day you're open. But there's still plenty of beautiful things.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's so much better than popping into a, you know, quick, I don't know, the terrible 7-Eleven story, right? To find your Christmas presents at the gas station.
Yeah, or the clearance rack.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm a real big fan, and I just absolutely love this exhibit. I'm wondering if, because I think another thing that is hard for people to is sometimes you have to prepare for this really far in advance. Like you were mentioning that your 2020 was a lot of different shows you were planning to do, and you're mm-hmm. kind of glad it didn't happen because you wouldn't have had the inventory if you'd sold, you know, more than you expected to be able to you know, have a full display space.
Right.
So are you already thinking about next year's shows and planning ahead to... I'm always fascinated because you that idea of, and you mentioned you're kind of on that precipice of, you know,
exactly.
production versus, you know, holding back. Which way does it feel right to move?
Right. I think right now I'm really coiling up to launch. I've been kind of in my cave the past year and a half, just brooding on the work I want to do and the work I want to share. And I am trying to applications for shows for next year start now and go through the spring. So I'll be trying to get a cohesive calendar schedule going on. My wife is a wedding photographer. So summer and fall are big weekends for her too. So we have to figure out how to.
She had a really challenging couple of years then too.
Well, she did. But, you know, one thing about weddings is, pandemic or no, people were still going to get married. So her business boomed. And even the people who didn't get married in 2020, they just deferred to this year. So
yeah, I was invited to a wedding that was delayed three times.
Yeah, yeah.
or people found ways to make it work, right? Okay, we're doing outdoors. Okay,
yeah,
we're reducing the size. Yeah.
So that would be an interesting challenge. I would have done more shows this past year too, but we had our third child, our little daughter, so that was a little challenging, but I also knew I just needed to continue developing and making my artwork. And this winter, I'm going to be trying to figure out how to find more time to crank out more pieces, be more efficient, and some of the successful pieces I've made in the past, just continuing to riff off of those ideas. And I have shows in Chicago and all over Minnesota that I'd like to do. My parents live in Nashville, Tennessee, so I'm thinking about
maybe
we can do a road trip down there. There's some great shows down there. I think horses would sell really well down there. So there's a lot of opportunity coming up this next year where there'll be quite a learning curve, but I'm excited for what the future has. And it's a unique time. We'll see what happens, especially when people really start to agree that the pandemic's over and things start to move on to whatever new normal people are saying it's going to be. So,
right. I think we're ready.
Yeah.
Well, and so let me end by talking about what, if you had some time now, what's on your workspace that you've been wanting to get to? What are some of the things that if somebody walked into your studio, they would see that you're...
Oh, yeah. My studio space, it's very organized, but it's cluttered. So I have a lot of different things going on. I have a lot of my cutout wall art pieces of horses, foxes, owls, bunnies, things like that, ready to go. Like, they're pre-cut out, and like I can go to them at any point and paint them during the winter. I have some new smaller pieces I'm doing, sketches of all sorts of animals. But there's some new topics I want to do. I mentioned earlier I have some angels that I think will be very appealing to certain people, and horsemen. I'm really interested in graphic novels personally. A lot of my sketches in my book
have that cartoony
style. It's not cartoon, it's not anime, but it's somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm. It's got personality, right?
Yeah, it's got a style, personality, and I want to head more in that direction. And, you know, part of doing just animals at the beginning was just I need to get down to basics and make things essential and figure out what I'm going to build off of. So now that I have kind of momentum in that, I can be a little more expressive in topic and branch out. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. I have a lot of just animals ready to go, ready to doodle and paint. I have some old designs I'm bringing back right now that I am touching up and refining, like a larger piece that sold that I liked, but didn't hit the mark exactly what I was going for. So since it sold, I get to try again and make a new one. So I have a lot of that. I have a bunch of yardsticks, like I mentioned, some other salvaged wood. I work downtown at Makeshift Accessories right now.
We should give a plug, yes.
Yeah, and I have some of my artwork up there, but I started cutting out the wall art pieces with the state of Minnesota attaching license plates to them.
Right, that's kind of a well-known identifying thing to Makeshift art, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the big Paul Bunyan and Babe there that we've shown at the state fair, it's still there. We're going to build another one and for next year's state fair.
Excellent.
It's going to be fun. But there's a lot of material there that my boss man, Devin Johnson, he's great. He's given me access to all this. We got these old gas cans from like the 60s and 70s that are very colorful. Thin,
metal?
Rusty. Yep. Rusty sheet metal. It's like very thin steel. I've been using a lot of those to put on plywood, and they're like canvases ready to go. They're very beat up and rusty, and they got lots of character, and I'm excited to see what I can do with those. I did one with an anchor on it. Well, there's a few at Makeshift. They're kind of makeshift pieces in that mind, but they're a lot of fun to work with. So just a lot of tinkering with material that's still going on. I'm always trying to find something new.
Folks can't see this because it's radio, but your face is just lighting up as you're talking about all these possibilities.
Yeah.
I think that's a really exciting place to be.
Yeah.
You mentioned stories and that you want to kind of make that a part of what, you know, your multiple animals in one piece. And so I can't wait to see how your story unfolds. It's going to be exciting.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, folks, this has been a blast talking about this great piece, I want you to visit finecraftcollective.com so you can get all the details and you don't miss this opportunity. They're only together for a couple months a year. So they're here from now till December 24th. I guess I forgot to look up what day of the week that is, that to know the hours. Oh, gosh.
Oh, December 24th.
Today is the 10th, so that's 2 weeks from now, so it'll be a Friday. So are you open 12 to 5 on Christmas Eve?
Yes.
Okay, so folks, but don't you know, if you can get there sooner, good. But if you need a place to go because you forgot something or someone or somebody, yeah, surprise visitors are coming, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
Folks, this is Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for being a part of the show and for opening up your imagination with us. I hope that you take some time to add some Art Zaney to your life. And, of course, in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zaney, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zaney is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8888.